This morning, we read in the Parsha about Pesach, Passover, which is, after all, a spring holiday. And it is obviously strange and ironic that we read about this spring holiday when outside, of course, the blustery winds are blowing and the snow is falling. So you noticed when you came here this morning, the frigid temperatures, the snowmen on every lawn. Voltaire said that the reason we have memories is so we can have roses in December, but it occurred to me that in Los Angeles you can grow roses in December, and maybe that's why people in Los Angeles have no memories. But nonetheless, it does give rabbis a chance to talk about Passover even when it's not Passover, and we're grateful for that. And I thought I would mention just one facet of the Passover holiday that is strange when you think about it, but actually unfolds into a very nice lesson when you understand it, which is that the central image for most of us of Passover is matzah. And matzah is really a very strange image for a holiday that's about freedom and about liberty and about slavery and about God. I mean, it's a cracker. That's what it is, essentially. And to make that the central, to hold up the matzah and say, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate, it doesn't resonate the same way as, for example, when you look at the Statue of Liberty. And so the question is, why matzah, of all things, becomes the central symbol of this holiday that, after all, is about themes much greater than would seem to be represented by matzah? And for myself, I first understood the lesson behind this when I read a biography of Emerson that talked about the influence that his aunt, Mary Moody Emerson, had on him when he was young. And one of the things she said to him that he remembered his entire life was, hurry, he had said something about hurrying up, and she said, hurry is for slaves. Because the truth is that the greatest control that a human being can have is of his or her time. If you don't control your time, then in some sense you are enslaved. And it is part of the definition of slavery that your time is never your own. It's always your master's. The only time that you have some time that is yours is when you have freedom. And the matzah represents the hurry, remember, that they didn't have time to let the bread rise. They had a hurry because they were fleeing Egypt. And it was symbolic of the inability of ancient Israel to control its own time until they moved into the desert. Now, what does this have to say for us? We're also, in that sense, enslaved by time. We know this. This is not a new thing. If you read Gulliver's Travels, which Swift wrote, after all, several hundred years ago, in one of the episodes, he has the tribes looking at Gulliver and thinking that Gulliver's watch is his god because he consults it so often. And we do the same thing. In fact, we're so enslaved by time that watches are going out of fashion because you don't need them anymore, since everything you hold, from a cell phone to a car to an office, they all have clocks everywhere. You can't escape the tyranny of time. And that brings us to Shabbat. Shabbat is what Heschel called a cathedral in time. This is the day on which you're actually not supposed to be enslaved by the clock, in which you're supposed to have the leisure to do that which you otherwise would not do. By the way, you're doing it right now. Who would sit for a few hours with your own thoughts? But you get a chance to do that here. And by the way, if you can't sit here for a few hours with your own thoughts without checking your BlackBerry or your iPhone, then you really need to be here. Because you're enslaved not only by your own time, but by other people's time. They have to get in touch with you right now. And if you can't say no to that, then you're a slave. So part of the message of this morning is liberation from the tyranny of time into the timelessness of Shabbat. And with all of that, we'll be done by about 12.